Welcome to the big show.
He could go all the way
to the North Valley's own Jerry O'Lennon.
When you're telling these little stories, here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
Is there a heaven? Oh, yeah. It's the place dreams come true.
On KKXX Life Radio, this is Live Local Talk.
All right, welcome to the show. It's another Wednesday. It's another Wednesday with Gidi Hansen of The Growing Place. We've been doing a series every Wednesday talking about automatic negative thoughts, ants, which apparently we all suffer from. And is during the course of this series, I've noticed myself that I relate to every single one of them. There are a couple more areas. We're going to recap it very briefly for about 2 minutes, just to recap what we've gone through: automatic negative thoughts, how they affect our lives and our loved ones' lives, and how we need to recast those negative thoughts into positive or at least realistic thoughts, and help our relationships and help our lives so that we lead more peaceful lives and not be so stressed and worrying about things that we have no reason to worry over. And so we welcome Gidi back to the show. Hi, Gidi.
Hi. Thank you for having me back.
Oh, gosh. I love having you here. I learned so much, and I'm sure our audience does as well. We're going to just recap what we've gone so far, and then there's a total where we're identifying the types, identifying ants. We have, I'll let you recap them for us.
Okay. We have overgeneralization, and I don't think I talked about this point. Generalization always has an exception and is perfectly okay and is not an ant. Like, generally speaking, I'm on time.
Okay.
Overgeneralization would be, I'm always late or I'm always on time.
Uh-huh.
Nobody actually has that kind of track record,
mm-hmm.
no matter what they say.
Generalizing is good.
Is okay.
Overgeneralizing is bad.
Overgeneralizing is what leads to the negative thought.
Okay.
You know? And then we have filtering, where we filter out the positive and we focus on the negative.
Mm-hmm.
We have all or nothing thinking, where if it isn't all one way, then it's all the other way.
Yes.
If it's not all perfect, then it's not worth doing. Personalizing is when things happen out in the world and I take responsibility for it when it has nothing to do with me. Catastrophizing is always imagining the worst possible scenario.
Mm-hmm.
Emotional reasoning, which we talked about last week, has to do with relying on our feelings rather than facts to form our thoughts, and very often leads to a negative thought.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, the last one we've talked about is mind reading, which is where I assume I know what other people are thinking, mm-hmm. feeling, and what they're going to do.
And the best example you gave of that, and that's where we left off last time, was you see your husband speaking to a pretty girl at a
yes.
company party, and you automatically think, well, he is thinking that he wants to have a
yes.
relationship with that woman because he's talking to her and he's being engaging and he's being nice. And then you come to find out later, if you just take your time and don't make an accusation, you find out that, well, perhaps he was bored with the woman
yes.
and was just being polite and being
exactly.
You know, a guy who's very personable at a party.
Right. And by the way, this is not an issue in our marriage. You know,
I just have to say,
my husband is out and about and out in the world and out in the community, and I am so proud of him. And
right.
I don't ever wonder about these things.
Right.
But I just use that as an example.
Uh-huh. Right. Yeah. And all of these are all examples, but
right.
I think it's fair to say that all of us have ants, automatic
negative
thoughts.
I do have ants, definitely.
We all do.
Yes,
it's just trying
to
contain them so that they're what we call our arts, automatic realistic thoughts as opposed
yes.
to automatic negative thoughts.
Or I like your apps, too.
Apps, automatic
positive
thoughts.
Yeah.
Apps would be better.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're down to mind reading. And how many more do we have, the different categories of
we
ants?
We have three more categories or anything else we want to talk about. And the next one is fortune-telling error. And
okay.
this is when I have an expectation of something happening in the future that's based on an assumption
okay.
rather than something that is a fact. And
okay.
so fortune-telling is often self-fulfilling. Let's say that my track record as an employee has been, after working for 1 year at a job, I always implode,
mm-hmm.
okay? That's going to be my fortune-telling. So the day I get hired, even though I'm very excited about this job, I have this assumption, this fortune telling in the back of my mind that in 1 year I will implode and they will either fire me or I will quit.
You'll sabotage yourself.
This is really the self-sabotage one.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Because and another one is, okay, I've started a great relationship with a guy.
Oh.
And everything's going really well now, but I know where these things end. And
I'm
in
gonna
9 months,
mm-hmm.
he's going to hate my guts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's the fortune-telling error.
Right. But some of that is still based on some truth, though, isn't it, Gidi? Maybe if a woman who has had that experience with a man and it hasn't worked out, and she's thinking, well, he dumped me after this, he dumped me after that. I know once I introduce him to my parents, he's going to want to run away because it happened two other times in the last 10 years or two other times in the last 3 years or whatever, it's going to happen again. So sometimes ants aren't based on complete fiction. Sometimes ants are based on things of previous experience.
They can be. And also, especially with this particular one, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Okay.
I then behave in ways to make him want to dump me. Uh-huh. But I don't tell the therapist that.
But so do we get into a consciousness thing, a subconsciously you're doing things that you're
it
not even aware
be.
Of?
Like a woman may not be aware of the fact that she's hypercritical of any guy she's with.
Uh-huh.
She doesn't report that to the therapist.
Right.
She reports that she's a victim and he's always trying to run away from her and doesn't want to be with her.
I see.
And then you get them in for couples therapy and you watch as she picks his life apart.
Uh-huh.
And does it just habitually, just like it's normal. And I'm not saying, I don't have any clients like this, by the way, but I have seen this in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get the idea, you go, oh, okay, no wonder these guys leave her after 9 months.
I see.
Because she's not aware of the fact that she is very hypercritical. So that would be a way that self-fulfilling prophecy works.
We have two more ants to go through. We're going to go through those today. Automatic negative thoughts. Then probably the next week we're going to talk about how to get rid of some of these automatic negative thoughts. We'll probably do that the following week from today. But we'll continue our discussion with Gidi about automatic negative thoughts, what they are, and we'll do that after this short break.
This is Live Local Talk.
All right, welcome back to the show. We're speaking to Gidi Hansen of The Growing Place. I like to give out her number every once in a while if you're looking for some help. They have a lot of individuals there at The Growing Place that can help you with some issues that you might have in your life and how to better improve your life. The number is, and they do, it's not just for people who are, you know, adults. I mean, they help young people as well, help get their lives on track. If you've got some things you're concerned about, you should give The Growing Place a call. Gidi's number is 588-0448, 588-0448. We're talking about automatic negative thoughts, identifying them, and then we're going to get to how to challenge the truth and then recast into a positive or more realistic thoughts. Gidi, we left off with the fortune-telling in where we kind of self-fulfilling prophecy, I guess, is what we talked about.
Yes, yes. And so, Jerry, if I may ask, and if you can think of somebody you know that maybe has participated in this, and
the example you gave that really hit home for me was the one about a girl who might know that, you know, maybe when I was a younger man, I remember going out with a different girl or occasional different girls and saying, well, this relationship is going, but then like on the second or third date, they're saying, I just know it's not going to work out because, you know, it never works out. This happens. And I'm like, yeah, I can see why it doesn't happen. I can see where that happens. So I've seen that myself in that area. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there are a lot of other areas too, but that's the one that I went, oh yeah, I've witnessed that myself.
Mm-hmm. That self-fulfilling prophecy.
Uh-huh.
We often do that.
Right.
You know, like nobody will talk to me at the party.
Uh-huh.
And then I make myself so inaccessible and I have a pruny look on my face that makes everybody want to keep away from me.
I've done that too. I've done that too at parties where I'm like, oh gosh, I feel kind of uncomfortable here. I'm just not going to fit in. You know, I'm older. All these younger people are here. I'm going to come across like a real dork.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to fit in. And so I come across looking like a complete dork because I'm around younger people at an office party. And that just happened, you know, not long ago. And I'm not saying it was anything terrible, but I remember going into this party thinking, I don't fit in here because there's all these younger kids, 25, 26 year olds, and you know what? And I'm old enough to be their dad. I mean, I'm not going to fit in,
so
and
how,
I didn't fit in.
How would you challenge that?
I would tell them to get. I have no idea how to challenge that.
Okay.
I have no idea how to challenge that because sometimes maybe this was just a case where older people sometimes who don't fit in certain situations. And I think I had to recast it and say, this might be a thing where I'm going, okay, I don't necessarily fit in here to be at a party for younger, it's a going away party for an employee. And I don't fit in here. So I kind of said, well, you know, I'm going to stay here for a half hour, 45 minutes. I don't feel comfortable here because they're talking about things I have no idea. I mean, pop culture, rock groups I'd never heard of and movies I don't know anything, TV shows I've never heard of. I don't really fit in here.
Okay, that's a beautiful recast.
Yes.
I'll provide a challenge for it.
Okay,
so I'm at this party and there are lots of young people there. And the challenge to that statement that I don't fit in is, well, perhaps these are not areas that I have knowledge about, but I have knowledge about other areas that these mm-hmm. people don't know anything about.
Yeah.
I have life experience.
Right.
I can remember being their age and thinking that I knew everything and looking down my nose. Well, in my case, it would be up my nose because I'm so much shorter than everybody and thinking that, you know, these old fogies don't know anything. Mm-hmm. So I can be generous with them and realize I've thought that way too about older people.
Yes. Okay.
And then the recast can be exactly what you said. I'll stay here and be sociable a little while and make my exit as soon as I can.
Yes.
Without being rude.
I think that's kind of what I do.
That's perfectly workable.
Right.
That's perfectly. Yeah. And I don't walk away thinking I don't fit in and there's something wrong with me.
Yeah, that is one of the few times I've actually did something right, where I did exactly what you said, because I walked away out of the party and I said, it's okay. I mean, I'm just too old, and I don't know what the devil they're talking about.
Yeah.
I don't understand any of the things they're saying.
Yeah.
And so it's okay. It's just a different generational thing, and I probably handled that exactly right. But that was an example where one of the few occasions where I've actually been into a social situation where I did it properly.
Yeah. Well, you know, I have clients who are teenagers, sometimes younger, and there's new toys, and there's new lingo, and there's new groups, and mm-hmm. there's new video games, and
yes,
you know, and I've never really ever been into video games to begin with, and so when they present me with something from the culture, slang, a term, or whatever that I don't understand. I asked them.
Yeah.
I asked them, what does that mean?
Uh-huh.
Can you explain that to me?
Yeah, Twitter is something I can't get into. I'm supposed to be doing Twitter at work all the time, but it's just like I don't get the whole point of it. But, you know, that's a case where I just say, you know, this is not my area of expertise, and I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
And being able to say, you know what, this is not an area of expertise. I'm not going to delve into this. But I do remind myself and put positive spin on it. My expertise are these issues, and I could help the young people with their writing skills, with their editing skills, with helping write their stories. But I can't help them with Twitter and Facebook accounts and social
media.
And
maybe they could help you with that.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
You might have some in-house free education.
There you go. That's probably right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's great.
Well, if I ever get my vision back again, that would help too, because I can never the letters are too small on the smartphone for me to be able to see it anyway. But that's a whole different issue. I can't do anything about that.
Right.
But anyway,
let's
continue. This is so interesting. We're down to
so now
fortune telling error.
Okay. Did you have any questions about that before we go on?
I think I'm okay. I get it. I get the idea that what you want to do is not put other people's thoughts into your own head, because you don't know what their thoughts are. Don't try to tell people what they think or what they feel.
Exactly. If you don't know, ask.
Ask them, what are you thinking? What are you feeling? And actually listen, but don't just make assumptions based on really nothing other than just your own insecurities.
Exactly.
Okay, we're going to wrap up, continue our discussion with Dee Dee right after this break. I get a free counseling session.
Welcome to the North Valley's own Jerry O'Lennon.
Ask yourself, what kind of example are you setting for others?
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
On KKXX Life Radio, this is Live Local Talk.
All right, we indeed are wrapping up our discussion on this Wednesday with Dee Dee Hansen of The Growing Place. Her number is 588-0448. A reminder, if you have any issues that you want to discuss with your family, The Growing Place is really a good place to go. And we're pleased to give them a free shout-out because they do good work. And Gidi gives us, quite frankly, free advice on how to handle certain issues in our lives. But if you have a personal matter that you want to discuss, we speak in more generic terms, although we do bring out specific examples that everybody could perhaps relate to. But if you have specific examples in your life that's really causing you difficulties, you should give The Growing Place a call. Gidi Hansen and others are there that can help. Her number is 588-0448. And we were talking most recently about all of the different types of what we call ANTs, automatic negative thoughts, about how, and there's a long list of them. We're not going to recap them now, recap them the next show. But ultimately, it's when we make assumptions. We assume the worst, or we assume something negative, not necessarily the worst, but we assume something bad as opposed to perhaps thinking about something good. And many times, I would say probably most of the times, there's really no reason for us to have these automatic negative thoughts. Although realistically, sometimes there perhaps is.
Yeah, there's, you know, if you know you're in a dangerous situation, mm-hmm. don't treat it like an automatic negative thought.
Yes.
Get out of there.
Right.
But if you're in a safe situation and you think you're in danger, uh-huh. that's when we have something to talk about.
An example in my family would be, we are very much, my family is very much, well, I have to be careful what I say here, but we don't like our kids going to homes where we know there are firearms in the house.
Yes.
Just one of those things. We just don't want that to be the case. So we're very, very careful about making sure there are kids. Now, is that an automatic negative
thought? No, I wouldn't think so.
That's just a being good parenting to make sure kids are not going to kids' homes where there might be some weapons. That's just
unless
that
you
we
know
feel.
They're locked and you know the
they're
people.
We know the people and yes. everything is cool.
Yes.
But yeah, you have to know all of that. So that's not an automatic negative thought. That's just being
realistic. But an automatic cautionary. Negative thought on the same topic would be, I can't let my kids ever go to anybody else's house because they maybe have guns and maybe those guns aren't locked and then my child might shoot himself or someone
yes.
else.
Yes, that's taken to the extreme.
That's about four or five different ants all combined into
yeah,
one.
Exactly. That's a good example.
And, you know, for your listeners to figure out whether they should actually come into counseling or just listen to our show on the air and just kind of figure out their issues, the dividing line is this. If your issues are disrupting your life, mm-hmm. if your issues are creating a heavy depression or a mm-hmm. lot of anxiety mm-hmm. and making it difficult for you to function mm-hmm. in everyday activities, that's when you need a counselor.
Uh-huh.
Because all of us, including the counselors, we all have issues.
Well, you know, that's an interesting point, Gidi, because when you're living your life, you might not even realize that there is dysfunction there because you think it's normal.
Exactly.
You think the abnormal is normal. So it becomes difficult for people to know, because many people will justify and say, well, this type of family behavior, this type of dynamic is normal. It happened in my family before. It's happened to other families
exactly.
I know. So therefore, there's nothing unusual here. So it is difficult, I think. I hear what you're saying, but it's difficult to delineate where you say, well, this is kind of normal behavior because all families have dysfunction to some degree.
Mm-hmm.
What degree does it get to be where it's too much? I mean, you know, I remember my parents had issues and I think, well, that's kind of normal because all families have that.
Mm-hmm.
But so how do you know? I mean, I understand what you're saying, but it's still difficult to pinpoint.
You know, the example that you used is really good and domestic violence fits that perfectly.
Uh-huh.
And so the point when the husband or the wife mm-hmm. may decide I need counseling is the point when I just can't take it anymore.
Yeah.
Everything I've been calling normal is killing me, mm-hmm. and I can't live like this anymore. Mm-hmm. And usually when clients come in, they come in at a crisis.
Mm-hmm.
They come in at a point where the last straw was put on the camel's back,
mm-hmm.
and things are not working now, so they want some answers.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to wait till that point.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to wait until you feel it's over or it's broken or it'll never be recovered.
Yeah, in some ways, it is going to family therapy. but maybe like an automobile where you should get a checkup every once in a while. We do this all the time with, you know, I just recently got checked. I had my blood pressure checked for my insurance, and I had a blood test, and I thought, and everything, fortunately turned out, God willing, turned out good. And, but still, is this something that is this necessarily a bad thing to have people come in, even though there's no problems, like there's no problem, your car is running fine, but I got to get the oil checked. I want to check and make sure it's okay. Would that be maybe unnecessary?
I don't think it's a bad idea to come in for a diagnostic.
Mm-hmm.
And say, I have these thoughts and I'm just wondering, you know, is this normal or should I do something about it? Or, you know, I have these feelings or my child is behaving in this way and I'm wondering, is this normal?
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with that.
You see, what's difficult, I think, for many people is because in people's lives, you catch a little sliver of somebody's life.
Yes.
You know, and someone's life, I always say this on the show. We can't judge anybody. Nobody knows anybody.
Right.
Nobody knows anybody. When somebody says that person's the best person in the world, that's not true. Or that person's just a real jerk, that's not true. I mean, people judge people over just the slightest little sliver in their lives, and it's unfair. And you're in that role where you kind of, do you find yourself having to do that?
Well, we always remind ourselves that we can only discern what is presented to us within that 50-minute or 55-minute counseling session.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody is not presenting something or somebody is hiding something or somebody is lying or exaggerating, unless we see a pattern of this, we can't tell. And it's really not our job to be God or to be a detective. We work with what's given to us, and we present tools and we give back accordingly. So if somebody who's very guarded comes in and doesn't want to get down to business, then they'll get counseling that never gets down to business. And they'll probably walk away and say, that counselor was lousy, I didn't get any help at all, but not realize I didn't really even talk about what was troubling me.
Edie Hansen of The Growing Place. Boy, it goes so quick when it's so interesting. We're going to continue our discussion, probably wrap up our discussion on automatic negative thoughts next Wednesday. And then also how to challenge the truth and how to recast them into positive or realistic thoughts. We'll be doing that in the following coming weeks. Thanks for joining us. Edie, thanks for being on the show again.
Thank you so much.
Until next time, everybody, have a good day. All the best.